Let the zombie takeout commence!
Welcome to episode 277 of Zombie Takeout.
Zombie Takeout.
The B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we've got some listener submitted. This is from Weston DiTillo on our Facebook page. In the comments for last week's episode, our review of Snowpiercer, he said, "For a second there, I thought you guys were serious. I was like, I'm going to have to stop listening to these two fucking idiots. Then I was like, hold up, what month is it? Recommendations list. Showed his acting skills. Assholes got me again. Fuck you very much and keep up the great work."
Well, that's weird.
That's awkward.
What's he talking about?
Yeah, those were legit reviews. At least mine was. Based on what we said after, I think that was your honest review of
the movie. Why wouldn't they be legit reviews? I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. But Weston, do what you gotta do.
Yeah, man. I don't know. On one hand, you're idiots. On the other hand, he's
like, keep up the great work. So,
he also has great confidence in our acting abilities.
This is true.
Yeah,
we're not that good. Well, you're better than me. I was never good. Anyway, we've also got some news. This is from comicbook.com. Sharknado the Fourth Awakens premiere date announced. Yes, we have a title for the next Sharknado movie. I don't think we've talked about it.
I hope to God that wasn't an April Fool's joke.
Yeah. I'm kind of torn on it. I like it, but it's a little... It dates the movie, which is my only issue with it.
So what?
It's a direct reference to another thing. The others weren't. You know, beyond that, it is very clever. Sci-Fi has officially announced the next installment of the Sharknado franchise. The new movie's title takes some inspiration from Star Wars The Force Awakens. Sharknado The Fourth Awakens will premiere on Sunday, July 31st at 8 p.m. Eastern. The new Sharknado takes place 5 years after Sharknado 3, Oh Hell No. There have been no Sharknados in the intervening years, but now they're appearing again in unexpected ways. Of course, Finn is going to smell them. Ian Ziering returns as Finn. Tara Reid will return to reveal the fate of her character, April, which was decided via fan vote after Sharknado 3 aired. The cast also includes David Hasselhoff. What did I say? They're going to rescue him. Ryan Newman, Gary Busey. I think we've talked about this.
Yeah.
Tommy Davidson, Imani Hakim, I don't know who that is, Cody Lindley, Masala Lusha.
Are they getting the cast of the new Are You Being Served here?
Yeah, and Cheryl Teagues, I know who she is.
What?
The model from the 70s.
I didn't even know she was alive.
Yeah, apparently.
Okay.
It's a Sharknado movie. Of course, I'm looking forward to it. I think I was just kind of thrown by the title because the other two are more kind of generic B-movie titles. This is a direct reference. It gives it kind of a scary movie vibe.
Yeah.
Or that whole franchise.
Well, I wouldn't equate scary movie and Sharknado.
Well, no, but they're kind of the same deliberately bad, you know, referencing pop culture sort of thing. Sharknado does it, at least the second two Sharknado movies did it a shit ton better.
I don't think Sharknado, well, yeah, I guess I see your point. Because Sharknado in the past has not relied on that many cultural references.
Not like specific ones. Not like, timed ones.
Like they've worked some Jaws stuff in there. Yeah. Right, sure.
But, and they throw Jerry Springer in one of the movies getting eaten by a shark. I mean, that's a cultural reference, but it's a timeless reference.
Well, yeah, but it's not like a Family Guy thing where they're breaking their necks to, you know, shoehorn
right.
cultural references right. in.
This so, feels like they're doing that.
You're right.
Which that, I have that, some issues with, but it is a very clever that. Joke.
But yeah, it is. It's good if it's just the title.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's a very good title.
All right, so on to this week's movie, which is from 1998, Dark City. Of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Nostalgia. Nothing was ever quite like you remember.
And also brought to you by Shell Beach. It's on the nose, but hard to find.
You'd think it'd be easier to find being right there on the nose.
Right. I mean, what do they call it? Was Sand Beach taken?
Exactly.
place where meets the water beach. I don't know.
But I'd be willing to bet that on Shell Beach there is a sandbar. And I mean a drinking bar called the Sandbar.
Hmm. Damn.
It's that kind of place.
Yeah, that hurts. But anyway, okay. So there are, before I start my impromptu plot summary, fun fact, there are two different versions of this film.
Yes, there are. We will get to which one we watched after the plot summary.
Now, I went through this whole comedy of errors thinking that a certain loading was completed.
Yeah, I tried that too. I ended up renting it on Google Play.
And wound up having to rent it. I did start by watching the first section on YouTube that had the voiceover of Kiefer Sutherland.
Okay, we will get to this now then, because I watched the director's cut without the voiceover.
Well, and then when I couldn't find part two, I went and had to rent it and watched. And I was going to just skip ahead 10 minutes, but the versions are way different.
Mm. I'll have to watch the 10 minutes on YouTube.
Right. And it's terrible. It just begins with him pretty much, with Kiefer Sutherland pretty much laying out what he's done. It's absolutely awful. It's like someone's just reading you the fucking script. Like they came and then they did all this stuff is told later in the movie anyway. So I'm just going to do the impromptu plot summary. There are also scenes that were in there that weren't in that were in the version we saw on Google that were not on YouTube. The theatrical release cut some things that probably should not have been cut. But anyway, so we begin with a man who looks like he went on quite a bender, who wakes up in a bathtub in a hotel. His memory is pretty much not, he can't even remember who he is. He doesn't remember his name or anything.
He really had a bender.
Dead hooker in the hotel room. I mean, what was that? I can't remember the exact reference now. It was like a, you know, Matt Damon's, you know, trailer. Yeah.
Right.
Anyway. He turns out he was in this hotel for 3 weeks. He has no memory of any of this. So it's one of those movies where, you know, it's kind of a film noir thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you gotta, you know, see where, you know, what his story was and everything. But of course, it gets weird right away. At midnight, which happens very frequently here.
Yeah. Hence Dark City.
Dudes come out in these black trench coats, bald heads. They rearrange the city. Mm. They move people. They change. They give people different roles and alter their memories. And they don't do it to everyone, but they do it to a lot of people. Some people. And he's in pursuit of this doctor, or he's at least trailing this doctor who called him to warn him to get out of the hotel because they were coming for him. And he has this wife that he at least thinks he had this wife. And she thinks she cheated on him. Whether she really did or not, of course, we don't know. I think the whole moral of the movie is it really doesn't matter, because is it any of it real anyway?
Right.
But the gumshoe who has been chasing him also throughout the movie is trying to solve the murder of the string of prostitutes, one of them, of course, being the one that was in his hotel room when he woke up. And, they go on this mystery to try to get to this beach. And they find out that it's not really there. In fact, they find out that this is just kind of a lab, and they are lab animals that is given away in the very first scene with the doctor who has some lab rats in a maze.
Oh, the voiceover part, you mean?
No, they actually, when
you're right, I remember now.
Talking, yeah. One of his first scenes, he's talking to his wife, and Yeah,
that is nice foreshadowing. I didn't think of it at the time, and I've already seen the movie.
And, well, so it's time to either submit to the aliens who've done this to us, or to take over, and hilarity ensues.
And we're not giving away the reveal at the end? When they break through the wall?
Well, yeah, we'll have to give away.
You talked around it, so I thought maybe you were doing that deliberately.
We can say what happened on the other side of the wall. I guess we can't say if we take over or not. Right.
Now, this is the second time I've seen the film. I first saw it, I think it might have been in theaters or shortly after it was available for rental. And I actually had read the novelization first.
You didn't see this when in our theater? When we ran this movie?
I don't remember that. It might have been when I was on medical leave.
Oh. See, the first time I saw this, back when we owned a theater on the Jersey Shore there, we would have these parties after the film, because you know, the film would come in multiple canisters, and the projectionist would put it together. And of course, it would take a long time. And of course, we had, you know, to run movies on, I think it was a Thursday night from the previous week. We ran those movies on schedule. And then when those were done, we would, you know, have friends over and stuff. And we'd just have this party kind of in the theater and watch the latest movie, you know, that we've all been waiting to get. And this one, of course, was one of them. Trouble was, by the time we got to it, it was so damn late and it was so dark, I don't think I made it through. There's like a lot of this I don't think I could remember.
Are you sure it was this? Because this was 98 and we were at the theater in like 96, 97. Maybe it was after I left, because I left at 98, come to think of it. Like early 98.
I could have sworn we saw this.
You were all still there a couple months after I quit, so.
Yeah, I was there for a while longer.
After I quit. So, yeah, that was 98. Anyway, what I was getting to was I've read the novelization first. I think I was on my way home from OCC. I stopped at a convenience store, and I happened to see the book there. Never even heard of the movie, knew nothing about it. The title looked interesting, and the back description.
Well, to show you how well this did at the box office, I think we had this the week after its initial
release. Okay, that would explain it. Yeah, okay. and I loved the novelization, which had a bit at the beginning, which is why I'm wondering about that voiceover, that explains where the strangers came from and kind of explains how they came to Earth and sort of what they did. And I missed it in the movie because it's not in there. And I actually didn't like the movie at first, the first time I saw it, for that reason, because I'd read the book. Now it's been almost 20 years since I read the book, and my opinion has definitely changed. And one of the things that I like about it is that it takes absolutely no time setting up.
Yeah. I think it needed a bit more of that, actually. I think they weren't trying to do like what the theatrical release was, but on the other hand, they were still being very cautious with confusing viewers too much, thought.
If I'm not mistaken, Alex Proyas, the director, came from music videos. I think he did some from Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, yeah?
And this movie actually has one of the shortest average shot lengths of any modern narrative production at 1.8 seconds, which means that there's a cut almost every 2 seconds.
Wow.
Which is definitely a music video sort of thing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And initially it bugged me. I think it was a little too much, a little too overwhelming, but I really got used to it after a while. It kind of gave it a Zack Snyder feel, but in a good way, if that's possible. Because I like a couple of his movies. Speaking of one of his movies that I like and nobody else does, when Jennifer Connelly first sang at the bar, for some reason I got a real strong Sucker Punch vibe.
Yeah, I mean, but it was, you know, it was still a realistic thing going on. Yeah. Not that Jennifer Connelly.
No, she didn't suddenly pull out a sword and start, you know, hacking things away. She just stood there and sang. But for some reason, it felt like Sucker Punch.
Well, it was weird to have a musical break there.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why.
It was, you know, weird to have the musical break when she came back to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was also weird that, you know, it was just her, you know, staring at us and singing with that light on her.
Right, yeah.
And everything else was dark around her.
Now, there were a couple of things I didn't like. There was a scene where he's, you know, going through the city trying to figure out, you know, who he is. And he busts through this boarded up doorway. And he just, like, knocked them aside like they were, you know, Velcroed onto the doorway. Which they probably were. A little unrealistic. Also, there's this sort of heat distortion effect when the strangers or Murdoch are using their psychic abilities.
Looked yeah, I a little that bit cheesy. Plot summary, didn't I? That there is they all have psychic abilities. Yeah. Well,
there's a nice big psychic battle at the end,
and of course, the chosen one, has. But I think that was the one problem I had with this, because you know you would think they would be excited. They're conducting this experiment, right?
Mm.
Suddenly, one of their subjects is exhibiting power similar to their own. And the point of their experiment is to figure out, you know, how to stay alive for themselves and what to do. And they have this huge breakthrough, and their response is to kill him.
Mm. because he can destroy them.
Wait, hold on, guys. What was the point of having this experiment? What were you thinking was going to happen?
It's basically a totalitarian government. Here's one of the, you know, downtrodden who suddenly has all of the power of the ones in charge. You're going to kill them.
But they're on their way out anyway. What's it matter?
Now, you referred to him as the chosen one. Yeah. Some critics have noted its similarities and possible influence on The Matrix, which came out the next year.
I can't believe that they could... Well, maybe they could put it out that quickly.
I don't know. I think it was maybe a zeitgeist thing. However, a number of set pieces, including those used for the rooftop chase, were sold to the production of The Matrix.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about the rooftop chase scene. It's been a long time since I've seen The Matrix.
Yeah. And it's just got that whole black leather feel, and you know that everything is dark and kind of dirty, and it just kind of has a similar aesthetic, and it's a chosen one, you know, hero's journey kind of thing. And I think that's
Billy Corgan took the look of the strangers, or at least had that look around the same time too.
Well, okay, when you first see the strangers, they're in these black suits with the fedoras.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, when they're in their own kind of underground lab and you see all of them, it's a bunch of mostly men. I think there were one or two women. Bald, wearing long black leather, almost kind of dresses.
Right.
Robes. Very Cenobite, very Hellraiser.
Right.
I think
Corgan took
Corgan was ripping off Hellraiser, as was Dark City.
Ah, you were right. That is definitely it, yeah.
Because Hellraiser was the 80s. Now, on the positive side, the lead stranger is played by Richard O'Brien, who makes everything better. And Alex Proyas, the director and one of the co-writers, actually based the strangers on O'Brien's character from Rocky Horror, Riff Raff.
I could definitely see that.
Proyas said he had Richard in mind physically when he wrote the character because he had these strange, bald-looking men with an ethereal, androgynous quality.
And, you know, the opening line that I had was, you know, kind of a, you know, Riff saying one of the lines. Yeah,
exactly. And anybody who's heard our first episode, which we don't recommend, knows I love Rocky. You know, I was in the cast for a couple of years. So, you know, O'Brien has a special place for me. So it's great to see him in pretty much anything.
I kind of wish that they had more of the Rocky cast in this movie, you know. Instead of, you know, the guy that, you know, the lead should have been Tim Curry, and, you know, yeah. I think a Barry Bostwick cameo would have been awesome.
Maybe as
too.
The doctor or the.
Oh, yes, Barry Bostwick as the doctor. Oh, my God, that's great. Because Kiefer Sutherland, honestly, I think he was just a bit too affected.
Yeah, yeah. He has a tendency to do that.
The whole pausing for every line. Like that. It was kind of, why would you have that cadence?
It fit the mood. It was admittedly unrealistic, but I think it fit the mood of the movie.
He was trying to play the mad, you know, German doctor kind of thing. Yeah. It was very old-timey.
Well, everything about the movie is kind of old-timey.
It was Shatner-esque.
A little, maybe.
Yeah. It was too many pauses.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough.
Until they did the dream sequence at the end or whatever you want to call that. Then he started talking normally.
Yeah. Well, the memories, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, again, we won't give away that.
Yeah.
Exactly how that all works. I am a little curious about the stranger's naming convention. Because it was like Mr. Hand, Mr. Glove, yes. Mr. Hat, Mr. What? Desk, Mr. You know. They just picked random objects, put Mr. in front of them, and that was their names.
That was strange. And I think the show Fringe may have taken this from this, too, with the observers.
Yeah, definitely. Now, one thing I will say is the movie definitely doesn't drag. There were no dead spots in this movie. It was almost 2 hours long and really didn't feel like it.
Right. And all of its darkness and everything. Mm. And
yeah, no lighting changes, no real changes in sets. You know, it all kind of had the same noir feel. It could have dragged mercilessly, but it definitely didn't. Maybe the 2 second cuts had something to do with it.
If I'm not mistaken, this was the first movie ever filmed in that studio, that sound studio in Australia.
Okay.
That they also filmed the Star Wars prequels in. Mm-hmm. And it just explains why they can do so much indoors in this.
Mm.
Because it's just this giant superstructure. Yeah.
It all kind of looks like a soundstage anyway.
Yeah.
In fact, one of my titles was Soundstage of the Movie.
I don't know if it's a good or bad thing that it looks so much like a soundstage. Well, I mean,
given what it actually is, it works.
You're right. I get that. But maybe it needed a bit more of a realistic look to it because you have to also believe that these guys would fall for this, you know?
Fair point, fair point.
I mean, I understand what they were getting. They didn't want it to look too real.
Mm.
But on the other hand, there has to be a hint of believability to it that they would fall for it.
Fair enough.
Now, what they really, really took, there are two huge influences on this that I think they get. One of them, of course, being Blade Runner, taking
of course.
The film noir, you know, sci-fi blend.
In fact, on the Google Plus page or Google Play page when I was watching it was a big thumbnail for Blade Runner right next to it.
And the other, obviously, is The Prisoner.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, yeah.
Because the whole, you know, be seeing you and, you know, they're just rearranging reality on him and or on everybody, really, and just playing this whole mind game and you can't get out of it.
Hmm.
So they sort of put that in the middle of space, which of course would make The Prisoner a lot more believable than just a giant bouncing ball stopping people. That just cracks me up every time you think about that. Oh no, it's the big bouncing ball. The other influence I would say would be Highlander. In fact, there was the one scene where they had the giant billboard, you know. I was expecting them to whip out some swords and, you know.
Yeah, I can see the lighting a bit, yeah, and kind of the
oh, especially when they had all the sparks coming down from it.
Yeah.
There aren't many other, it was just like a pinch of Highlander in the whole movie
base. One scene did feel a little Highlander, you're right. When he decapitates the one stranger.
That's exactly the scene I was thinking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, but the rest of it, but yeah, that was definitely a Highlander nod. Because there was even like the billboard with the words and everything on it behind them.
Now, Alex Proyas got the idea for the movie from seeing set pieces moving around when he was working on The Crow. He also directed The Crow. And speaking of the buildings moving around, I think that was a real high point of the movie, was the effects.
Yeah.
It was really well done for its time. I mean, it's a very dark movie, so CG is going to look better. But still, it was fairly seamless. It really didn't look like CG.
Also, I mean, think about a movie like Inception after this.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they definitely took a lot from this.
Mm-hmm. And think about a movie that came out the year after this, Phantom Menace, which screamed CG. You know, the CG in this one was really subtle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Phantom Menace, of course, that was the point, was to go.
Good point. Yeah, true.
he was looking to drive that fucker off the cliff.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes it worked. I mean, like, the underwater shit was just
Right. Now, one of the really clever things in this movie was the way they illustrated sort of the limits of the existence of the people in the experiment. A few of them who had kind of woken up had this habit of drawing spirals. And I didn't get it until I thought about it for a minute and realized you can't get out of a spiral.
Yeah.
They can't get out of the city.
Where they took the fingerprints and handed it to her. Yeah, it's a spiral.
Yeah. Were those Murdoch's fingerprints as well?
Probably.
So he was becoming a stranger, sort of.
Or it was either that or it was fingerprints they planted.
Perhaps.
That's either one. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter.
Another nice touch was the gyroscopic operating table.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They get strapped onto this wheel, and then it just goes back and can swivel around, and it's used as an operating table. Now, William Hurt plays the detective, and he is really underused. Yeah, I always
enjoy William Hurt.
Well, he's great, but he's really underused.
True.
He doesn't have much of a role. He shows up for kind of the second half of the movie. His death did give us a nice wide shot of the city.
I'm surprised you're not nitpicking more about the effects of a vacuum on an unprotected body.
One of the other things I was going to call this sort of unintended trilogy was our non-scientific science fiction trilogy. Because there wasn't much science in Snowpiercer. There isn't much science in this. There isn't going to be much science next week.
No, really?
So yeah, I've kind of given up on the nitpicks for these movies.
Wow, you've been worn down. Damn.
Well, because I know these three movies, and I know there ain't much science.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that didn't bother me. Even though there was a force field, you know, keeping the atmosphere in, he still got sucked out, which was weird. But I just would like to have seen him more involved in the movie. Maybe cast him as the scientist and Sutherland as the detective.
I think that maybe he should have been the main character.
Or that, yeah, yeah. I think maybe you want someone younger.
At least in the beginning, you know, he's taking over the case. You know, they needed to put this
in. Oh, you mean as the detective, okay.
Right. They needed to put this in as a realistic setting. He's chasing this murderer, and the shit just gets weird on him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, instead of having the guy waking up in the hotel, because... Mm-hmm. We've seen that 1,000 times.
Right.
Well, you know, oh, how did I get here? I have no memory. And oh, this looks so bad, but I really didn't do it. You know, we need less of that and more of, like, you know, he's chasing this murderer who then becomes their only hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And that would be a little different than a typical Chosen One story, which this kind of was.
Yeah.
One thing that really didn't work for me, and overall, I really liked the movie, but. The stranger kid, I think he was supposed to be a lot creepier than he ended up being.
Oh, I mean, unless you've read the Weekly World News. And,
well, he does look like Batboy, yeah.
Batboy.
Yeah. But there's this, you know, like 10-year-old, 12-year-old kid who's with the strangers, carrying a knife, and he's all pale, and he's got the hat and the suit. And he was supposed to be really creepy, but he wasn't to me.
Yeah. You know, they try to do that with kids.
Hmm.
The eye thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it didn't work. You're right.
Now, this bit of trivia, I'm really curious to see your reaction. Hear your reaction to.
Okay.
Roger Ebert called this movie the best film of 98. And he even recorded a special audio commentary track for the DVD.
Really? Let's see. What other movies were done in 1998? Should we do that? We should have like Google dialing or Google
music for this. Music. Yeah, I should come up with some music for this.
Like a Terry Gilliam, sort of intermission thing. Oh, fuck no.
What was released?
Fuck no. Okay. We had Godzilla and Armageddon. Mm-hmm. I will give this
better
than those. Truman Show.
Maybe.
Saving Private Ryan. But the kicker.
That's not the kicker.
Big Lebowski.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Honestly, for me, it's close.
I really liked it. Lebowski takes a big piss on their rug. Even though the movie ties the whole year together.
But Saving Private Ryan? That's like like the Godfather, practically, in terms of how it's regarded.
There's I don't think there's some people that believe it hasn't held up.
Oh, I haven't seen it in a long time, but at the time it was, you know, a legend.
Honestly, it's really the Omaha Beach scene.
Yeah, fair.
A lot of people after that like, oh, it's kind of like an episode of Combat after that, with the convoluted, like, we're gonna you know, get him out and stuff. But yeah, the Omaha Beach scene alone is kind of just the effects of the and the watching them just get shredded on the beach was just amazing. I mean, it's just it's nothing we'd ever seen before.
Now, there is a bit of controversy between the writers of the film as to how the people ended up in the experiment. In the on the DVD commentary, co-writer David S. Goyer reveals two possible explanations for the origin of the inhabitants of Dark City. In his original story outline, Proyas believed that the humans had been passengers aboard an interstellar starship and were captured by the strangers. Goyer, however, favors a more spiritual approach, supposing that the humans are in fact dead, and that Dark City is a sort of purgatory made up of people the strangers have selected or abducted from different eras in history.
Well, in my notes, it actually says it has to be hell because someone's playing an accordion.
So it's an interesting dilemma there, a question there, I should say. I kind of like the starship version more.
I think it makes the most sense.
Yeah.
It would have been if they were all like, you know, the redneck guys that you know, usually see, the like, and it came out in the sky and beat me up.
So, you know, humanity had actually advanced but much beyond the technology in the movie, strangers aside. You know, it wasn't set in the 40s. It was actually set in the far future when we were, you know, traveling interstellar. But they were abducted and put into this world.
They could have been abducted from Earth.
True. I think in the novelization, the strangers actually came to Earth.
Well, the one line they did say was that, you know, they're from different time periods and just, I mean, they really wanted a wide variety to experiment with.
Okay.
But the voiceover at the beginning begins with, first there was darkness, then came the strangers. They're a race as old as time itself.
Doesn't he have that exact line toward the end of the film?
They had mastered the ultimate technology, the ability to alter physical reality by will alone. Mm-hmm. They call this ability tuning. So yeah, he really just explains shit. it's terrible. Wow.
And the studio wanted them to do that, by the way.
Of course. You know, anytime you hear, you know, like, let's have a voiceover narration.
Let's underestimate the audience.
Yeah. So yeah, the endless journey brought them to a small blue world in the farthest corner of the galaxy, our world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so they came to Earth.
Yeah, so they're saying they came to Earth.
At least that's what the studio wants to say.
Oh, they wanted to spell it all out. Yeah. No discussion about this. Mm-hmm. Let's make this film less interesting.
Which really speaks to the fact that there is a controversy between the writers because they had no idea. They didn't come to a decision on that. You know, they just had their own interpretations. Now, I did like the ending. It was kind of happy, but also kind of tragic.
I don't know.
They didn't tie it all up in a bow, which I liked.
I mean, I think they kind of did.
Well, they did as much as they could get away with tying it up in a bow. But, you know, they aren't all... It's not exactly a happy ending.
Well, I mean, you can't just, you know, change everything back to the way it was before.
Well, yeah, they weren't all just teleported back to Earth.
Right, right. Spoiler alert, it does not that happy an ending.
Yeah, and I kind of liked that.
But it's happy enough.
Yeah. Although...
I mean, some motherfuckers would try to make a sequel out of this. You know, I'm looking at you, Matrix.
Although I did at first think that Shell Beach was just one moderately sized pier. Until she says, look over there. I thought it was just the pier that they were standing on. It's not much of a beach.
Well, it would be great if there were no shells on Shell Beach.
That's
then
true.
Then I would approve of the name. Other than that, it's pretty hack.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, if they call people Mr. Hand and Mr. North or whatever, yeah. You know, I don't know.
I just kept thinking of Mr. Hanky.
Mr. Hat.
Yeah. Wonder if that's where... No, South Park was just before this, come to think of it.
Yeah. Yes, so, they may have taken South Park.
On to sequels and remakes?
On to sequels and remakes.
The entire time I was watching the movie, I was thinking, this would work so well as an anime. The way it's shot, everything, it just looks like an animated film. So I would love to see an animated remake of it.
Yeah, you know, this doesn't quite work as well as a live action film, even with all the wonderful effects they put into it and just visually how well this was put together. Live action, I don't know if it really works, because if you put it as animation, then you can suspend your disbelief easier.
Yeah, yeah. It won't look like a soundstage.
See how the people can suspend their disbelief.
Right. All right, on to Brains.
On to Brains.
Because nobody's actually planning a remake.
No, and with all the other different, you know, movie, you know, with The Matrix coming out right after this, and pretty much everyone forgetting about it.
Right.
Because of it.
I probably would have forgotten about it if I didn't resent it so much because I like the book.
Yeah, I only remember because we ran it. It's one of those. Yeah. I remember almost all the movies we ran in our theater.
Well, I actually ended up really liking it despite my initial hatred of it back, you know, almost 20 years ago. I'm going 4.
This is really hard for me to come to a decision on. Because on one hand, I don't think it's quite as good as The Matrix. Mm-hmm. You know, I think The Matrix was a bit more coherent, you know?
Maybe.
Maybe, of course, The Matrix is also a bit more dumbed down. So.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's it. And The Matrix had Keanu, so take that into account.
But the actual conflict itself, you know, Highlander and The Matrix at least had these physical, you know, conflicts that you could see clearly that work in a movie, whereas this had, you know, flying dagger or a flying dagger.
Yeah.
And the whole, like, mind fight.
Right.
Damn, this is tough. Because I'm kind of between 3.5 and 4. And I thought I would talk my way into either one throughout the review itself. But
I will say it makes my life slightly easier if it's not on the rec list.
Whoa, you're pushing for something to not be on the rec list.
I'm just saying it's a little less work in the edit or in the posting.
You know, the other thing is the acting is a very mixed bag in this.
Fair enough, yeah.
You have the beautiful performances by William Hurt. And Rufus Sewell, you know, I was kind of on the fence about it at the beginning.
He's kind of in the middle. He's kind of average.
But he won me over towards the end. Mm-hmm. I mean, not with what he did in the end, but just the consistency of his performance throughout.
And then there's Jennifer Connelly, who is usually pretty good, but in this one...
The whole thing about, like, you know, he just tells her, we've probably never met before, we're probably not really husband and wife, we just started this whole fantasy a day or so ago, and she tells him she loves him, you can't just fake that. It was like, the line after that should have been, did you just listen to anything I just said?
Yeah.
The shit was injected into you. Mm-hmm. It's not real. We don't know each other. We're strangers.
Yeah.
We've only talked 3 times at this point. But you've got these memories that are fake. I've got these memories that are fake. But I'm going 3.5.
All right. And what have we learned?
We've learned that I should really check before to make sure the download is done before shutting it off.
And I learned that it's always best to watch the movie before reading the book, unless you can wait 18 years until you've forgotten about the book.
or not to watch it before 3 in the morning.
That too.
And then try to drive home from that at like 5. Mm-hmm. What were we thinking back then?
All right, so until next time, and we'll be finishing up the Unintended Trilogy with The Fifth Element. Until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course, the episode itself, which you're already listening to. Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and YouTube. Links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. Also, if you enjoy the show, spread the word. Give us a little word of mouth. Of course, we appreciate all the listeners we have, but more would be better. You'll also find the movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review up through episode 299, actually, because we haven't revealed 300 yet.
300 has this weird title of all question marks.
Yes.
Hmm.
The request form, if you've got a movie you'd like to hear us review, please leave it on the request form. Note about the request form, we got an email yesterday saying that the request form was full and nothing else would be added. This has happened before. So I had to take some screenshots and just so I knew what was on there and delete everything that was on there. So if you go to leave a request, it's just that's why it's empty. I have screenshots of everything that's on there, so we'll know what people have requested. You also find the recommendations list, and yes, I admit it's easier if I don't have to take a few minutes to put something on the rec list.
This is one of the hardest ones I've had to rate in a long time.
Mm-hmm. I was pretty sure it would be, but I'm slightly relieved it wasn't.
I mean, love Richard O'Brien, loved mm-hmm. William Hurt. Could not get over Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah.
That was pretty bad.
Uh-huh.
Or I should say, that was pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to do that kind of Peter Lorre kind of thing, too.
That's exactly what he was doing.
Yeah.
It's annoying as hell.
You can also email us zombietakeout@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-9861 or for the alphanumerically challenged.
You can go fuck yourself.
414-368-9861. Of course, always remember that you'll always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee. And until next time, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
Shut it down!
I like about it is that it takes absolutely no time setting up.